Take your Bible, if you would, please. Find, if you would, the book of Luke. Luke, the 18th chapter in your scripture, will be our text this morning. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's in the New Testament. I trust that you have a Bible. If you do not have a Bible, there's one in the pew in front of you. And feel free to pick it up and to use it there and look at it there. If you don't have one, maybe somebody will slide over and share one with you. But we love for our people to be able to see the Word of God and be able to follow along. Our text will be in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 to 14. Verses 9 to 14. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18, verse number 9, "And he is the Lord Jesus. And he spake this parable." I'm not sure if you're familiar with the word parable or not, but a parable was a very effective and probably one of the most favorite ways that the Lord Jesus would communicate truth. A parable, really and truthfully, was a way that the Lord Jesus would tell an illustrative story. He would take something that was very common in practice to the mindset of the folks back then, and he would communicate these parables to them at the same time using a common practice to communicate a deep spiritual truth. So he would use a simple illustration to communicate a deep truth. This was a way that demanded for you to have ears to hear. So sometimes, as the Lord Jesus would be giving these parables, sometimes they would understand them and see them, and they would either be encouraged or enraged. And other times, the meaning would be hid from them, and they would need some explanation. But it was a very effective tool for the Lord to use to expose people to themselves. And as they would hear the parable, and they would unfold the commonality of the parable and the practice of the parable, then the spiritual application they could make to themselves. And more times than not, he made people angry than he did encourage them. So here we find that the Lord Jesus in this passage is now communicating a parable, an earthly story, a common practice to teach a deep spiritual truth. Read with me verse number 9. "And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in" who, class? "In themselves." So there's a targeted audience that Jesus is giving this parable to. He's giving this parable to those folks who are trusting in themselves. And look at the trust that they have in verse number 9. "That they were," say the word, "righteous." So there's a mindset here. There's a people here that they have positioned themselves as righteous. Not only righteous in their own mind, but they have positioned themselves to be righteous toward God. The fact is that they have found this righteousness from within their own human ability. So they're looking at themselves, they're trusting themselves, their own human nature or practice for righteousness. So strong is this that they have positioned themselves in a class with no one else. This is the mindset that thinks they're the best and everybody else is less. You talk about elitism, there's a spiritual elitism in this mindset. And then the consequence toward others, if you look at verse number 9, "He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous, and they," say it, "despised others." So the Lord Jesus has a mindset of polarization. He's got a mindset of exaltation and despicableness. He's got these people that think themselves to be something and everybody else to be nothing. So strong is this that they actually have exalted themselves and they despise others. You talk about a despicable act. To that mindset, Jesus tells a simple story. Verse number 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. The one, and the other, okay, so the Lord Jesus knows that in his audience, he's got severe polarization. He's got an exaltation of self and a despisement of others. He's going to confront this mentality, and as entrenched and as astute and intellectual as this mentality is, he just tells a simple little story. But the characters of the story are very important. And basically, Jesus tells a story about two men who go to church. And he picks these one man. This is the Pharisee. The Pharisee is going to stand in the place of the spiritual elitist. The Pharisee would be the one who would stand in the place of religious perfection. The Pharisee would say, I don't need Jesus. I can find righteousness within myself. The Pharisee would look at everybody else and say, you're sinners, I'm righteous. Severe polarization over here. Then the opposite character is this man, a publican. The publican was hated by all of the Jews because the publican worked for Rome. And the publican was an extortioner in the tax ways. And the publican would aggressively hinder his own people because the more money he made, the more commission he was able to gain and the more money he would make personally. So they called the tax man every dirty name in the book. Sounds familiar, right? Right? So there is no way on the earth that the publican could be righteous. Severe polarization. Jesus tells the little story. Look at the story. Verse number 11 says, the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. What a prayer. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Are you kidding me? The man standing there and he's praying. And really and truthfully, as he's presenting his prayer, he actually looks at the publican and says, God, I'm better than that man. You talk about finger pointing in the church. He gives his reason for this. Verse number 12. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This is his reasoning for exalting himself. The other member is the publican. And the publican in verse 13, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, read that out loud, please. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Verse number 14, listen to what Jesus says. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Wow. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. I want to take this passage of scripture and I want to preach to you a phenomenon that is happening. It was happening in Jesus's day, and I submit to you it's happening in our day. I submit to you that not only did it happen in Jesus's day, but it happened in the book of Acts. I submit to you that it happened in the book of Romans. I submit to you that it happened in the book of Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Thessalonians. And you could even make your way into the book of the Revelation. And I submit to you that it makes its way into our day today. And really and truthfully, the title of my message will expound the phenomenon. And here's the phenomenon. Same church, different eternities. Same church, different eternities. How is it possible that we could attend the same church and some of us go to heaven and some of us go to hell? Same church, two men, different eternities. I submit to you that the story of the Pharisee and the publican, as we find it in the book of Luke, is the story of two great sinners that go to church. These two great sinners have two different attitudes. And when they go home to two different eternities. Same church, different eternities. One knew that he was a sinner and acknowledged it before God. The other knew not that he was a sinner and boasted of his own righteousness. If I was to reduce this story down to you, here's what Jesus is telling them that trust in themselves. Heaven is full of bad people. Hell's full of good people. He didn't say that like that. Did he say that? He didn't say that. What did he say? I'm alert now. I'll tell you exactly what I said. Heaven is filled with bad people. Hell is filled with good people. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand the Bible. Same church, two men, same preacher, same message, same everything. Jesus said when they went home, one went home justified, one's lost. I submit to you that this phenomenon is still happening in our churches today. I submit to you that as one man walked out pompously on his way, wrapped in his own importance and self-righteousness, one man went home thanking God and rejoicing God for the forgiveness of his sin. Jesus himself said one man went home justified, but the other one still had a sinful heart. Same church, different eternities. Now listen to your pastor's heart here. It will definitely destroy me when we get to eternity and I find out some people in our church are not in heaven. Not in heaven. Maybe it's the person sitting next to you. Maybe it's the person sitting in front of you. Maybe it's the person sitting behind you. Maybe you sing with them. How is there a phenomenon that people can go to the same church and experience different eternities? I'll tell you exactly why. God is not interested squarely in your church attendance. He's interested in your heart. And this little story has got such power. As it unfolds, you're going to see how the Lord confronted those people. And I hope that it speaks to your heart. The Bible says about the Pharisee as he came to church. I want you to watch the description of him as he came to church. The first thing you notice in verse number 11 is how the man prayed. He came to church and Jesus said, as he prayed in verse number 11, he prayed thus with himself. That man came to church and wanted to pray and God says, I don't know who you're praying to, but you're not praying to me. You imagine that? Coming to church and praying and God says, I don't know who you're praying to, but you're not praying to me. You must be praying to yourself. This man, as he came to church in his prayer, was simply boasting to others and letting them know about the good that he was doing. Just because you pray does not make you a Christian. This man had two concerns in his prayer. His prayer within himself was to deal first off with his conscience, and second off, it was to deal with the crowd that was there. You know, your conscience is a gift from God. Do you know God gave you your conscience? Do you know that your conscience, as God gave you, is the same reason God put a purpose in creation? The Bible says that man can look at creation and know there's a God, but you have a conscience and you can know there's a God because of your conscience. And when God created you, he made you with a custom place that can only be made with fit with him, and that conscience in a man is there to remind man of God's holiness. Man was never to know right from wrong, but man chose to go into sin, and God in his mercy put a conscience there. All of us have to deal with our conscience. Some people medicate it, some people drink it, some people smoke it to a different level, some people sear it, some people know how to just ignore it, but that conscience within a man constantly confronts a man about his need for God. This Pharisee was being pricked in his conscience, but instead of turning to the Lord Jesus, he tried to fill that conscience with his own righteousness, to the point where he said, I'm better than that man. Is your conscience being pricked by God? Do you feel in your conscience God telling you about your need for the Lord Jesus? How did he satisfy that conscience? Oh, he began to exalt himself. He began to exalt himself in his morality. Look at what he says. He says, I thank God that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers. Listen, I believe in that God wants you to be moral, but human morality will never bring about God's righteousness. Pastor, I've never cheated on my wife. I've never cheated on my husband. I've never been unfaithful. I know purity. I'm not involved in those things. Fine, but you cannot equate those things to the righteousness of God. Hell is full of moral people. That can't be, Pastor. That can't be. Oh, yeah. Not only did he try to satisfy himself in his morality, but he tried to satisfy himself in his business honesty. He says to them, you know, I pay my bills. I don't cheat. I'm honest in all of my dealings. I agree, businessman. You ought to be honest in your business. Folks, we ought to be honest in our lives. But your human honesty is not the same value as the righteousness of God. Not only did he try to present his morality and his honesty in his business, he boasted of his religious life. He said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. Let me tell you something. I'm glad about religion, but religion won't save you. God's not interested in your outward religion. He's interested in your heart. You'd be amazed at how many people come to the same church and think, well, just because I'm moral or I'm honest or somehow I'm religious, then I must be a Christian. Jesus said one went home a Christian. Not that man. He boasted of his generosity. Be amazed at how many people try to secure their conscience and secure their eternal destiny by their generosity. Well, I give or I share or I do these things. This is what the Pharisee said. He saw no flaws in himself. I thank God that I am not as others. He divided a whole world into two groups. He was in one group and everybody else was in the other place. I want to ask you a question. When you come into this church, how do you look at people? Do you come in and sit down and say, I got more money than they do. Our family's better than them. My shoes cost more than his whole outfit cost. I'm glad for my job. Boy, I sure would hate to have their life. Same church, different eternities. The Pharisee's trusting in himself. He's offering all of this moral goodness to God for righteousness. And then he doesn't even see any flaws within himself. He's in his own world and everybody else is less than him. He's better than the whole wide world. So strong is his position that the Bible says he despises other people. I got news for you. The Bible says, for all have and come short of the glory of God. This man shows up to church, the same church this other sinner does, and stands up there and presents himself and all of his goodness and says, here I am to worship. Here I am to know you. And God says, I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested in your goodness. I'm interested in my son's righteousness for your life. How do two people come to the same church? One ends up in heaven, one ends up in hell. Because it's a matter of the heart. The Pharisee comes to church and he leaves church. How did he leave church? He left church trusting in himself. He left church without the acknowledgement of himself as a sinner. He left church without the cry of God for mercy. The publican shows us the cry of God for mercy. Same church, but one man trusted in himself. One man offered his own goodness. One man was seeking the appraise of the crowd. I want to say this, and God finally let me get to it. I should have said it 5 minutes ago. If you need the crowd to secure you as a Christian, you're in big trouble. Big trouble. If you come to church to deal with the pricking of your conscience, but all you offer to God is your moral goodness, then I have a question for you, and you must answer this. If your moral goodness could bring about the righteousness of God, why did Jesus die on the cross? Why? Why would he die on the cross? If our moral goodness could bring about righteousness, why would he die? Two men, same church. One goes to heaven, one goes to hell. The publican, he comes to church in a very different way in Luke chapter 18, verse number 13. Notice how he comes to church. He stands afar off. The publican comes to church and he came to God humbly. He boasted not of his goodness nor of his righteousness. He boasted not of what he could offer the Lord. The Lord does not receive those who come to them in their own pride and self-importance. God received this man because he came humbly and in the right spirit. How'd you come to church today? How'd you come? Two men, same church, different eternities. Two sinners, two different attitudes, two different things. One man came, he came arrogantly and offered up self-righteousness. This man comes humbly, offers no righteousness, but look where how he comes in verse number 13. He would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. The publican comes to church humbly, but listen to me, class. And this is the whole point of the message. He came penitently. Penitently. What does that mean, Pastor? That means he felt the weight of his sin. He was sorry for his sin. Why did he beat his breast? Because his sin was in his heart. And he reckoned the weight of his sin. Are you saved in the room? If so, would you say amen? What were you saved from? You have to be able to answer that. What were you saved from? Well, sometimes we talk about somebody saving me from a bad experience or saving me from a bad relationship or saving me from making a big mistake. Right, right. So when Jesus Christ saved you, what did he save you from? The Pharisee never gave two thoughts about the weight of his sin. The Pharisee was interested in having God in his life, but he wasn't interested in having God in his heart. Listen to this preacher. You better not have invited God into your life without inviting God into your heart. I know where I'm going with this. I'm comfortable. You should be comfortable. Relax. Everybody's all, just relax. The penalty or the weight of my sin. Most people want to go to heaven. Most people reckon God is to be God. Most people want God in their life. Two men go to the same church. One man feels the weight of his sin. He knew himself to be a sinner. I ask you a question just right to your face. You have to give me an answer to this. Do you believe you're bad enough to go to hell? Right. Pastor, you got to fix that statement about the good people going to hell and the bad people going to heaven. Right. That's what understanding the weight of my sin is. The weight of my sin is me acknowledging that there is nothing righteous in my life that I could know eternal life. It's me reckoning that I have transgressed against God. It's me reckoning that I am a thief. I am a pervert. I am a lustful man. I am a dishonest person. I have broken the law of God. When you lift me up to other people, then yes, I can exalt myself and despise them. But when you put me next to holy God, the weight of my sin comes crushing onto my body. And in that moment, I realize I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble with the weight of my sin. And in that bad moment, I smote my breast and I cry out to God for mercy. And I cry out to God that he would touch me. And God, through his son and the death of his son and the shed blood of his boy, reaches into my life and he takes all of the badness and he washes it with the blood of Jesus Christ. And even though I am bad enough to be in hell because of the blood of Jesus, my badness has been transformed into the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And I get to forever be with him. People don't get this, same church, same preaching. And people just want to offer up God their goodness. You don't have it. Jesus said, I looked at that church service. I saw those two people. One of them, one went to heaven. The other one went to hell. Two people, same church. Crying out for God in mercy. The publican came to church humbly, penitently, and confessed himself a sinner and received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The Pharisee left lost. The publican leaves a saved man. I'm telling you, there is a phenomenon in our churches that we can be in the same place with the same word and the same handsome preacher. And some of us go to heaven and some of us go to hell. Are you kidding me? Has nothing to do with our morality. has everything to do with, have I humbly, penitently cried out to God for his righteousness to come into my life through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ? And then we go home changed and redeemed. Same church, different eternity. Shall we pray?